Friends, this morning we are turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then we will be reading verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. And we thank the Lord for today. Today is the day that Christ has risen from death, the day of the resurrection. And as Christians, we know what it means to us. It's very sad that even among so many Christians, they take this day to be a day of entertainment. Go to televisions, go everywhere, and we see even those who claim to be having what they call crusades has all turned to be entertainment. I wonder if they truly understand what it means that Christ has come back to life today. And I'm sure if they understand, that will not be what they will be doing. It will be like wherever they will meet, they will be talking about this, how they can take advantage of what Christ has done for us. The last hymn that we sang, we have power over death now, because Christ has power over death. And as Christians, we have power over death. The most fearful thing in life is death, isn't it? That's the most fearful thing. In Akan, they say, Adia ehu eni ifundaka. So if we have power over this, do we have to go and be enjoying ourselves at the beaches and the abrupt parks and all those things? No, we should reflect on this and take advantage that we'll be part of it. Because it's not for everybody. It's not that because he has died and risen today, everybody has it. No. It is for those who will seek his mercy and enjoy this power. So as we meet today and celebrate the Easter, I want us to reflect on the resurrection and then remind ourselves of the connection between our Lord's resurrection and the other world, why he came into this world. So my title is the importance or the significance of the resurrection to our salvation. That is our title for today, the importance or the significance of the resurrection in salvation. So we will see the resurrection in some of the aspects of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4 verse 25, it said that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. This is a very, very serious saying. When he died on the cross, he died to pay for the penalty due to our sin, because the wages of sin is death. So we don't have the right to live because we are sinful from Adam. So Christ has paid that penalty for us. So when he died on the cross, the first thing he did was to deliver us from our sins, from the power of sin and death and judgment. And then he's coming back to life, which is the most important, which is happening today, is for our justification. So that we'll be justified before God. So I will explain why all this, why the resurrection alone can give us our justification. One theologian quoted, and I'll quote it to you, the definition of justification. He said, justification is an act of God whereby he pronounces a sinner to be righteous because of that sinner's faith in Christ. Even though you are sinners, you are declared righteous. It's like going to court and being found guilty, and yet because somebody has paid for your sentence, you are declared righteous. And that is what justification means. We are justified because of our belief in what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Another theologian also said, the root idea in justification is the declaration of God, the righteous judge, that the man who believes in Christ, sinful though he may be, is righteous. Even though you are sinful, God will declare you as righteous. And you are being viewed as being righteous because in Christ you have come to have a relationship with God. It is only through Christ. That is why Christianity is the only way to go to heaven. Because it is only through Christ that we can have a good relationship with God. Otherwise, we are enemies of God. We'll learn about this the next time we meet, how we are enemies to God. ano pe bebi a mejina akasa ni korinto fo nwoma edikan no etri edunum ni edu enehimu edu ni baako no na o se se de enam enipa baako so ema owuo abeto enipa nyina so no saa so na enam enipa baako so ebema owuo sori enso abaye nyina so because everybody will die. Why will everybody die? It's because of sin. And where did the sin come from? It came from Adam. So because we have inherited sin from Adam, in the same way, we can inherit life through Christ. Because Adam was sinful, Christ was righteous. So he's saying that sin by one man came death, by one man too comes the resurrection of the dead. So the ayah can say, it's not say, enam Adam suma wubu ba entino, enam Yesu sunso. I'm a sorry, Abba. That's what I say. See, you cry now, you're saying, I'm sorry, Bill. Now, when I can say, and they are, yeah, DS, sorry, you'll be a couple of piano and go for the air energy, all the air parties, all the air and sangry, or chance to go for a beach. And now, and perform brigadings, almost quaha, they say, oh, yeah, even when our president was giving his Easter speech, I was surprised. After quoting scriptures and scriptures, in the end, he was referring to the parties where people must go to go, where he himself was going. It's amazing. After quoting scriptures about how Christ came to die for us, you can imagine dying on the cross for us, and then you take it to be entertainment. It's very, very sad. And only we are saying, because they say, and if you now say, yes, who am I? It's your genie. From the air and sangue and a mass and same brave. And I are who you. Na yenye aye nso ye nim se de tie ne de ene no me pese ye twase na ye dwentwe ne ho se Yesu ewu sori ye no eho faso a ewo ema yen ana se hia hia ewo ye kwaje eno ne ade a ye be gina so no pei na me ka se Romans so wo ko Romans chapter 4 verse 25 o se Yesu ewu ema ye mboni ena osai enya ne ye se de be pepepe wo Yakobon ni owu e de gie everybody no ena ne nyane ye no so no ama ye betim ne Yakobon tem aye baako. Na any a friend of the justification. And I make sure much as a justification, a idea of Yanko Ponquana, a ye. Say any pan would you for the year? And so it's not say yes, we are mountain, but the Oboni Achel. That is the only way. There's no other way. Obey Timmy and Yanko and Nuka. I just saw the Bonin Achel. Or better also, I just say, what did you, yes, you mean? And I make us say, yeah, Omar, you can phone me, a kind say. Justification, not the pepper pay, no, a Onyankopon idea, or the ma, or the boyeni, safety, or bayer, or tenini, it's answer what Jesus, a DNT. So let's note what one thing, but let me share idea back with you. Say, cut the justification, a Onyankopon, now what declare, say, a Nipano, or the boyeni, and so the bony action. And just a Nipano, I pepper view. No, it is not that the sinner has any change within him. No, said what here now, aye, did you know what was in the body channel? Yes, we are tria, the body no more, I can tria the dada. It is what Jesus said, sanity and padia, that is what in the body in our eye there. Actually, in the justification, you know, it does not make somebody holy. No, it only declares you to be not guilty. You can be holy through sanctification. So you can say, why people pay with your company more? Then you say, we are crum. There be, we are the boy any. Then so yes, we are born in the cantino. You are the boy in Achel. And what she and Sana will be fat a crabby so, not a fair day of a bra bono. I papa. And no crown, what you mean yet that this could sit down the be. Nobody can be perfect whilst he's alive in this world. You can only be perfect when we go to heaven. When this body dies and we are given new bodies. But you are justified. Or the boy in Achel. We declare say Bonibia in new. Baby, I can't ask me where it describes true justification is Romans chapter 3 from verse 21 to 26. If you can send there quickly, and I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. Or see, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely for his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, when God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believe in Jesus. You see, God presented Jesus Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. We all know, especially we in Africa here, when you commit some serious offense in the king's palace or whatever, you slaughter an animal, and they claim that they use the blood to cleanse you from your sins. But here, we need the blood of a sinless person, which nobody qualifies except Christ. Why is he the only one who qualifies? Because he was not born through our system, through the Adamic system. So he is the only one. So God, why did God do this? Because you might think that if God is doing this, then God is also not, God being impartial. But that is not the case. He did that to declare his righteousness. Why did God do this? He did that to declare his own righteousness. Why? Because God is a just God. When we say somebody is just, he does what he says. So if God says that the sinner will be punished or the sinner will go to hell, it must be so. Then at the same time, God is also a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. So all these two things must play. His justice and his mercy must be shown. So what did he do? Because I'm just, you need to be punished because I've said that. But because I'm merciful, I will take the punishment for you. I will have a way of punishing my son because of you. O Yankopon sadi awe ya odi Yesu emma se onko wu na onyi yen kwan obi be ka se ne ze ne Yankopon se doje Yankopon kwa no kan de kre. He said, "Who say so be your bonny bia na e se itua na suka and e se okohel. Na no bia ye bonny. Na o say what did every bonny no mu. E na me tie mu se O Yankopon no what is sadi e. Na o san so ye bebro hu fo. Our two natures. Or ye justice, or can you create, or deep a purpose, or something you will home for. It's better than some you knew in our Ayaguma. The better they say, why you're born in? It's a say, punish you. But me, yeah, who will move me, I'm a staff of punishment in Amount. If I could be so, I punish him, Bano, instead of you. And that is what God did. That is why he sent Christ to bear the punishment for us. Because otherwise, we will say that if God is holy, how come that he won't punish a guilty sinner? But the answer is that justification does not excuse our sin, or ignore our sin, or endorse our sins. No, that doesn't mean that God is allowing us to go and sin and sin. But he knows why we sin. Why do we sin? Because we were born in sin. Our nature is made of sin. We can never, never stop sinning until God intervenes. So God has to first forgive us and then make us righteous. So that sin is fully punished in Christ when he took our penalty for our sins. When he died on the cross, we were supposed to die on the cross of Calvary. So he died there for us so that our sins be forgiven. And then he becomes our substitute. 1 Peter 3 verse 18 talks about that. Because of that, the wrath of God, which was supposed to be on us, has been put on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that God, in this case, will remain to be fair and at the same time just. When he says sinners are right, he will continue to be fair and just. Yankupon ayes adi inti no. Esan chese, Yankupon woye pepepe. Osansu ye, bubro hunfu. It is that true, no? Mercy and justice have kissed each other. So God has done what he needs to do, and he still remains as a just God. Now, there are several facts that we should talk about when we talk about justification that we need to know. The first thing is that justification comes apart from the law. That is, we cannot earn justification through rule keeping. We can never be justified through keeping the law. That is why those who are not keeping the, who are not living by grace and are living by the law, will never, never go to heaven. It's a very hard statement, but that is the truth. Last week, when we were going over this, we met a lady down there, the first person that we met, and we tried to witness to her, because she mentioned that she was a Baptist where she was, and she had moved into Jesus. So we said, okay, then let's talk to her. The woman we started talking, she said, no, me, I'm a Sabbatarian. And I will never, never come to church on Sunday. I mean, emphasizing, he wasn't even prepared to listen to anything, despite our Bible course showing her that the Old Testament Sabbath is not what we are observing. We live by grace. We don't live by works. Because if you say you are following the Sabbath, then you are following the whole law, not just one, which nobody can do. And if that's the case, then Christ didn't need to come. He had to come because we can never, never follow the law. So if you say you are a Sabbatarian, and he was arguing and arguing, I said, okay, now let's leave you and then go to salvation. Are you saved? He said, yes, I'm saved. I said, how do you know? What is your proof? Then he said, I'm a Christian. But you say you are a Sabbatarian. When I asked you, you never told me you were a Christian. You say you are a Sabbatarian, so how can you be a Christian and say because of Christ you go to heaven? You see, they don't understand. People are just misleading them. There's a man who comes on television these days, and he's the one doing that. He is trying to disprove the Lord's Day, despite there's so many evidences in the Bible that it is now on the first day of the week. The man is teaching that it's still the last day of the week. And anybody who listen, it's a serious thing, because the Bible says, "Cares no man can be also a DM run also." The Bible says this. Because you can't follow the law. Christ has done all that we needed to do for us, so we should just follow him by grace and faith. So this lady, well, in the end, we have to give her some Bible quotations to go and read to prove that in all the New Testament, they were all meeting on the first day. People are being deceived. So justification, we cannot earn it through keeping the law or our own good works. And that's what many people think. They think that, oh, me, I'm a good person. I do this, I do that, I do that, so I'm good. Nobody is saying that. I'm trusting only in Christ. His death, which paid for the penalty due to my sins, and then his coming back to life, which justifies me. So when you go and stand before God, you can tell God that because of Christ, I know I'm justified. You can't tell God that because I follow the law. Because he knows nobody can follow it. And that's one thing that we should know. And that is that justification is made possible in the sacrificial death of Christ. You see, it is made possible on the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary. His blood that he shed. Remember, I've said already that it is only through the shedding of blood that sins are forgiven. And then the next thing we also learn is that justification is the free and gracious gift of God bestowed on those who receive by faith the sacrifice of Christ. It is given to only those who by faith believe that Christ died on the cross for them. The American is say, any man be enemy and say the one is say, be chimu, epa sa pepe pe, yesu. Na, sa pepe pe, yesu. Ujimi nyan, abla usi udi emrano so. Fiz emrano bi eti mini so. And they can't tell me what you so. And I tell you what you mean. Baku Biyanu, you can't say, yeah, Chichi Makwasiya, it's about 200. And who can follow it? And that is why, anything about Yesu, Ebedi is my, that is what the papa yenu, am I. And I make us the last week, I hear conversation, you share a rabbi, I say, you know, eh, Kasa. You know, Kasa, son, don't come in me down. Or some women down. No, ma, sorry, Kasiya, da. You can send me bridge, you know. Only was see the ocean was see. Now, if you say, now to see Anna, who was see who are becoming fat. That's what we call heaven. And I'm saying, it's what heaven. And I was see because we're a Christian. And I said, they're okay, and just say we're a Christian. A Christian of one, a sum, a young coupon, a die, yes, sorry. Oh, say, oh, sum, no, a large day. And we didn't get away a Christian. You didn't cast a no, and I say, and man, some Bible verse, yeah, it's your coffee, not on wow, uncle kind, now. And as you see, I'm here, like I said, Sapepe, a Gina, yes, we won a woo cross on the sun. Anywhere would you say, oh, no, you know, the Mojana Pepa or Bonnie? What would you do? If it's a Babu, I come here, I say, see, and fear Moja, you are Boniface, you know. The Mojan say, oh, Moja, as the same Moja will be our own year, Bonita Moja. If you ask him, one year, Bonita, I just say, yes. It was no more than a Ujidia, a bit of power, now we need a phone and tell more IFP. There are a few other things that I want us to know what justification involves. When we say you are justified, what does it mean? It means you are the remission of the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Death. So when you are justified, it means the penalty of sin, which is death, you have conquered it. That's what we are singing in our hymn. Through Christ, we have conquered death. You can read Romans chapter 3, verse 23, chapter 8, verse 1, 1 Peter 2, 24. Let's read the 1 Peter 2, 24. It said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see, this is clear to show that you are only justified by your trust in what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. The second thing that we also involve in this justification is that the restoration of God's favor, which has been lost due to our sin. You know, when Adam and Eve were born, they were perfect. They were favorites of God. God said they were created in his own image. When they sinned, they lost all these things. So now when we say you are justified, it means you are being restored to that state, the state of glory that you lost because of your sin. Because Christ has not paid for your sins, you are now restored to that state. So you are restored to God's favor. John 3:36 explains this. So justification is just more than acquitting you. It is a full acceptance. See, now we are now friends of God, according to James 2:23. And then we are co-heirs. You need to be a dear, according to Romans 8, verse 17. The American said, you can't say, when you're prepared, you are. And for so, woman, you are. The kind of said, Bonnie, the man who and he said, oh no, you can't say, why you're a justifier. So, who punishment, you know. Yes, you are a German. And you knew who should be. It's not yes, you can't say, if you cry, oh no, man, almost tears in the air, almost no wood. Who say, I'm part? Oh, but I'm saying, the BTS. Oh, my tears here, no. Oh, there will be change. Within the single of my eye, they will be changed and be given glorious bodies. And he said, you can say, why are you justified? Who have power over death? Whether you are living or you die. Because even if you die, it just passing through to your next stage. You are not dead to go to hell. And then the second thing is that so you can say why you justify and why you pepper power. Not just say they now tear war, say they now Adam tear no, brown all your bonino. You know. Why you're born in the ma or the sign, Emma will go near Rieno, Yanni, Akonia, the Abessina, by, and can you name you? But you see, as you can see, you will be sad to be anymore. Not just a young person, I'd go for 2 hours be a new. Say they are boy, a sinister son, or sign I will serve you. And I make us say, what kind? John 3:36, I'll be what kind? Romans 8:17, I can't, sign my woman, I said. The imputation of righteousness. That's the third thing. Imputation of righteousness. Which is by reckoning of Christ. That means Christ gives you his righteousness as a gift. He imputes it unto you. And imputation is free. You don't pay for. It is only you believing in what Christ has said on the cross of Calvary. You are declared righteous. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We read it in the verse 21 there. Because God has sent his son to come and die for us. And because he has come to die for us, we are no more sinners, but we have peace with God. Because now we live as Christ. So when we appear before God, God must see us as Christ, but not as we are. We are justified. We are declared righteous at the moment of our salvation. So Christ has finished the work which is required of us in our justification on the cross. That is why when he died, he said it is finished. He has paid for everything. It is only you believing in the act, believing in what he has done. And then that will be it. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, because like I said, he was raised for our justification. The one that we just read now. But because God justified us by grace through faith in Christ, we now have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 11. Exactly as the prodigal son. Remember when he sinned, he left his father and went to squander his money everywhere, and then he came back. He was given new robes. You see, the father met him and gave him new robes. In the same way, we too, we have gone back, we have new robes. God has clothed us white, as if we have never seen before. Romans 5:18-19 sums up all these things. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made right. The same way as I read before, because of Adam, we all became sinners. Now because of Christ, we have all become righteous people. I hope you are clear with justification. Now let's come to our actual topic today, the resurrection. Why is it significant? Why is it important, the resurrection? The first thing to note is that it is a proof that his life and death were acceptable to God. Because if Christ had not come back from death to life, it would have been a serious thing. Then he would be a sinner. Then we can't trust him. If he had not come back, and if there was any small thing in him too, he could never have come back to life. So this proves that his life that he led here and then his death was acceptable by God. So if you say he's giving you his free life, it means when we come before God, God will accept it. If he says that his death delivers you from your sin, it is true because he has power over death. So it is a proof that his life and death were acceptable to God. The American is there. Yekase Yesu wusore ya edi enti ne hun hia pa no a de edi kan dey say en na che say Yesu ne life of belly di eno eni ni wo no wu ye no Yakobon asu say eye no cre eye papa boni ni Yesu say boni wo luma ko ntimi sori bi uda ko wu ye no ko ntimi enyane bi o nje no che say Yesu wo no wo wu ye no Yakobon asu. Remember I was saying that when people commit sins. I remember in the villages those days, I think I've said this in here before, but yes, a drachi will be. Yeah, Nikobo Sumuso. Now, Nikobo Sumuso, now, like I said, Uncanny Numun Semina, Bonia Wai, now, Omo Kum, we are saying, Uncanny, and I want can, or Kansua, Omid Mayaman Hato. It will can't do, baby, no more track, who come, trying to say, oh, man, could deep, no more Yakokon. I go come be priest ah, or prayer. And I say, okay, book to say yeah. It means they are uncanny to me. You see, so they will force her to be saying more and more, and they will be spotting the you know, until it turns like this. When it turns like this, and it means it is accepted. And that's exactly the illustration I'm giving here, because Christ died and was able to come back to life. It means his life and death was acceptable by God. If he had stayed dead, it would prove that death has a claim over him. So Yesu and San sorry, I met him wo still an wo ewo to me ewo Jesus. So it was a proof that his life and death was acceptable before God. And we know that death has only power over sinners. Doesn't have power. That's why I'm saying that if you come under Christ, death has no power over you, because Christ has become our Redeemer. The second thing that we know is that the defeat of death and his being raised to life as the first fruit, that shows that he is the first person who is leading us. So as he was able to come back to life, we will also come back to life after our death. He is the first fruit, our leader, our pastor, our everything. He has come back to life. So we too will have the belief that it is true, that when we die, we will come back to life again. Now, that resurrection also proves Christ's defeat over death and sin. It is proof, because death has no power over him, sin has no power over him, as I've just explained. If sin was had power over him, he could never have come back to life. If death had power over him in the same way, he would never have come back to life. So now we all know that death is our foe. Death is our enemy. Even God himself, death is his enemy. So Christ now has power over our enemies. Adam sinned, like I said before, and then death had power over him. Christ never sinned. Death has no power over him. So by his righteous life, Christ has destroyed any claim that death has power over him. Another thing that we gain from it, as I said before, is that the future of believers is revealed. Our future, those who have come to believe, our future, that will also one day come back from death to life and join Christ in heaven, is being revealed. Because if Christ was crucified for our justification, then if he was crucified for our sins, like I said, he was also came back to life for our sanctification. In other words, because Christ was raised from the dead, we too will be raised as well. We have hope that we'll be raised. One day, our physical bodies will be resurrected and we will be glorified just as Jesus was. The account that we just read, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Like I said, we don't have fear again. If you are a true Christian, you don't have fear. When you die before Christ comes, you go straight to him. It's just a change. If he comes and you are alive, it's also another change. And it's like he said, a twinkling of an eye, and then you are changed. The mission is there. Yekasa Yesu, ogu sori ne ho emfa so a. Agidifo e wodi das wo se. So sori dia, Yesu da hye so be sori. Bizi yedi na chi. E na me kan babu na e chire sa. Se Yesu sori ye nti no. Yesu e wodi das wo se that day no obeba no. Yesu e sori. Yenia ye nguye no. E ho no an ye ngu bio. Ye be sisa. Na yenia ye be wu an sa na Yesu aba no so ye wu a ye be kono ho e ko twen no. Till the final day. So we must not really downplay the importance of this resurrection as people are doing now, as people have taken them to be entertainment. We should not. It is our hope. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. That is the proof that Christ is indeed the Lord. He is God. He has the power over death. So if we are following him, we don't have fear over power over death. That is exactly what Christ is saying here. The fifth thing is that his power or his triumph over Satan was also manifested. Because remember, throughout Christ's preaching, he preached that he has power over Satan. He said it so many times, over evil spirits, over demons, over whatever. But this is the proof that he has power over Satan. Because you see, one thing that we should know is that when Satan tempted Adam and he failed, Satan thought it is finished. Because obviously all your generation will be sinners. So he has finished. He didn't know that God had a master plan, that he can turn the whole thing around. Because Satan's aim was to destroy man, human race. And the first thing is what he did. Poison Adam. And then all of us become poison. But God knew that he had plans, that it can twist that. And that is what Christ has come to prove, that he has power over Satan. And then he also approved that good is superior to evil. Godliness is superior to rebellion. And then God over Satan. That is exactly what he said. Psalm 58 verse 1 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him." See, so the resurrection is a proof that Christ had power over Satan. Another thing is that Christ also commended as Lord. Like I said, this is where we can say that Christ is Lord, because he came back from death to life. And so believers can also have life and then eternity. The next thing is that all his divine attributes were revealed. You know, when Christ was around, he proved that he is God, which is where now a lot of people don't believe. The Calvinists don't believe, the Muslims don't believe, other religions don't believe. They don't believe in the Trinity, that God, the Son, God, the Father, God, the Holy Spirit, they all have equal powers. But this is a proof that what Christ said is true. That when he says he is God, it's true. Because when you go to Colossians 2 verse 9, he says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All the fullness of the Godhead. The Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are all in Christ. So when Christ says he is God, and remember, Christ used almost all the attributes of God. So how can that be proved that all the attributes he was doing was true? This is it. His death on the cross and the resurrection on the cross proved that everything that he said about himself was true. His divine wisdom, his knowledge, and his power. And you remember Christ prophesied about his own death. He said all these things. He said he would die and he would come back to life again. And it happened. So it is all a proof that Christ is God. And he had all the attributes of God. Now before we come to a close, let's look at the predictions. You know, this resurrection of Christ were predicted so many times in the Old Testament. And there were also other prophecies in the Old Testament. The first thing is found in Genesis 3 verse 15. Right from the beginning of creation, God said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his seed." He was referring to Christ. You see, it was an announcement that Eve will have a descendant who will come and counter the work of Satan. Like I just said, Satan's plan to destroy all men, God had also a plan to come and thwart his effort by bringing Christ. And this is what was done. And it was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So now, in the process, the deliverer will be wounded, which is what happened to Christ. But then, it won't be fatal. He will come back again. That's why Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And throughout the Old Testament times, there are so many scriptures that talk about the coming Savior who will die, and also other scriptures that talk about his triumphing and then reigning forever and ever. Now, let's look at other pictures in the Bible that also talk about the resurrection. Especially when you say the resurrection, it means death and rise. Death and rise. And you see, that's why we say the whole Bible is about Christ from the beginning to the end. If you want to understand the Bible, understand Christ, what Christ means, because the whole Bible is about him. Now, let's look at a few pictures that points to Christ's death and the resurrection. In the first one is the same Abraham. You know, when God called him from Ur of the Chaldees, and then he had to proceed to the promised land. He had to pass through rough areas and had to suffer before he got to the promised land. It is a picture of death and rise. By him going through all the rough times, it's his death. By him arriving at Canaan, it's his rise. Another one is him and Sarah. You know, God closed Sarah's womb for how many years? So, in reproductive terms, they were dead for some time before they had Isaac. You see, and where did Christ come from? From Isaac. So you see that death and then rise. Dead and rise. Another thing was Isaac, even when he was born, he was given as a sacrifice. You know, and then he was raised, you know, as the future promise. In the same way, Jacob, when he had a problem with Esau, he had to return to his father's side through a valley of death, facing death. You know what Jacob went through. But when he was there, he saw that ladder. So it means during that period, he is a picture of death. And when he saw the ladder, God raised him again. The same thing with Joseph. Joseph was dead in a pit. His brothers put him in a pit. That was a state of death. And then he was raised to become the prime minister and save all his people. So throughout Genesis, there are a lot of things that lead to, like, for instance, famine. Famine comes, and then they are delivered. So all these things were pictures of what Christ was coming to do, his death and then resurrection. The American said, Bible munu, ye wo efoni bebra echre ye Yesu. And American said, Bible ni nano efa Yesu hu. What kind the nefiti asie ekosi na wiye ya efa Yesu. Jo wo pese oti Bible asie ti Yesu asie. And me di bi ye efa to hu say Abraham Yesu ko fredi fi bebia Yakobo ko fredi bebia no oti a no no ano o enjoy ni hu na boni bi ni ni. Ano me kaze boni ni hu asie na ahote bi ni na bra bom. And so a kofan say or the no cocaine. Now a kwemono was a fabi bray. And we as a woman, I caught him come and sana oko do cana. And on wako ya so the yere on yangupon arman the yere arm wa could do be 90 something years. During that period, you know, now must woo omu in the long run in Yangupon Isaac. Isaac crow ya so no yangupon can say on fan come sacrifice. And sana was I raise Isaac. I'm an abeye who he was. The same thing, Jacob ni Esau, and so I'm in trouble by Esau. Jacob, Igane, you know, all sign up and offer the value of death. He said, Okofa, room, and sana, or no, so no, over. Joseph, the same thing, Nini, I'm the Niko, too, I'm them, and the Biko, you know, at the call, I'm so Koko, yeah, like a prime minister. It is because, yes, new world is all in the air, and you have a brave, oh, Babu, another one cried. The burning bush, the one that Moses saw, it was a sign of the invisibility of God and how Christ can never be destroyed. That was the picture. How do we know that? That is, let's see what God said. He said, I am the God of thy father. When he saw that burning, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. These people were all dead. And yet God was still saying that they were alive in his presence. You see, with an assurance of our own resurrection. Those people were all dead. And Christ even quoted this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 31 to 32. He stated that what God said there, look at what he said. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and the God of Jacob? You see, Christ is saying that what God said there was a proof that one day he will resurrect and we shall also resurrect. There are so many prophecies also in the Bible, in the Psalms. When you go to Psalm 8, Psalm 16, 22, 24 that we just read, and then 68, they are all talking about the death and resurrection of Christ and the proof that we also will enjoy the same thing. Now, coming to conclusion, I will also quote what Isaiah said about this in Isaiah 53 verse 10. He said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. See, John 3:15, to bruise him and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. When you go to verse 12, he said, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's all about Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy place. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. All these things were talking about the coming of Christ, his death, which will relieve us of our sins, and then the resurrection, which will justify us. So when we talk about the resurrection, it's all about mercy, it's about grace, it's about salvation, it's about eternal life, and how there's an availability of pardon for us, even though we were condemned because of what Christ has done. There's, we have mercy, and God is prepared to pardon us if only we repent. And repentance in faith. That is why I was saying that if you want to understand scriptures, understand Christ. When Christ came, what was his first preaching? Repent.
for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Christ said. He didn't come to teach us how to perform miracles. He didn't come to teach anything. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So what he came to do, in summary, everything is about our death and resurrection. It happened to him, it will happen to us, if we believe and put our trust in him. But the question is, have you believed? Have you put your trust into him? Have you asked your sins to be forgiven you? God has promised that anyone who comes to him, he will not turn him away. And we know the American say, oh, sorry, no, a humobro, any adum, any enquadje, any damqua, and a buy. And now, also, so I'm going to say, and when I'm I just said, you're a hatcher. And you're not so, I'm not crying. Sabre, no Christian, never signed a bonny hatcher, or the bonny betcher. Now, so when you're a son, and that's who are oversigned as a review. So, yes, you bar, and so I'll make a sound. What's the sound? Now, I call you, yes. If you haven't done it, please, it is not too late. You are still alive. Where you are right now, bow down your head and pray and ask God to forgive you, because we have believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross of Calvary for you. And that is your only hope, to cleanse you from your sins. And he will. God cannot lie. He said he will pardon you and make you his own. You have peace with God. Not until you do this, you are an enemy of God.